AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. The economy grew at a 2.9% annual rate from July through September, despite high interest rates and chronic inflation. Fed Chair Jerome Powell says the path ahead for inflation remains highly uncertain.
For starters, we need to raise interest rates to a level that is sufficiently restrictive to return inflation to 2%. There's considerable uncertainty about what rate will be sufficient, although there's no doubt that we've made substantial progress, raising our target range for the federal funds rate by 375 basis points since March.
Powell also signaled the Fed may increase its key interest rate by a smaller increment at its December meeting, only a half point after four straight three-quarter point hikes. Christine McVie has died. She was a vocalist, writer, and keyboard player for Fleetwood Mac. In 2014, McVie told the AP going out on her own was not in her plans.
I did want to play music again, but there was only one band that I ever would have considered.
McVie's death was announced on Fleetwood Mac's social media accounts. No cause of death was given. Christine McVie was 79. The House moved quickly to head off the looming nationwide rail strike, passing a bill that would bind companies and workers to a proposed settlement that was reached in September but rejected by some of the 12 unions involved. China's ruling Communist Party vowed to resolutely crack down on infiltration and sabotage activities by hostile forces. The Central Political and Legal Affairs Commission statement was released after the largest street demonstrations in decades in China by citizens fed up with anti-virus restrictions. The National Weather Service says record high temperatures in Texas and Louisiana fired up a storm front that spawned tornadoes across the Deep South. Two people were killed in Alabama. This is AP News. Decent third quarter.
Paid for by government.com.
Have you heard? A recent stash of 1904 Morgan silver dollar coins has been found. These gorgeous 1904 silver dollar coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck. This is a key date for silver dollar collectors, and only a limited quantity are available. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone interested in silver coins. Just call government at 1-800-386-7195 and you are guaranteed a mint condition 1904 Morgan silver dollar featuring the iconic O mint mark of the New Orleans Mint, the final year of production. But with limited quantity, you must call now. These 1904 silver coins are still in uncirculated condition. That is 117 years of history you can hold in your hand. To learn more, call 1-800-386-7195. Call now and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-386-7195 now to secure your 1904 Morgan silver dollars before they sell out. That's 1-800-386-7195.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes as long as it's coming from love. Then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Darrow became famous in Wisconsin for presiding over the Darrell Brooks trial. Today, she announces she's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. The election is expected to determine the court's ideological majority. Darrow was appointed by former Governor Scott Walker and is reportedly active in the Republican Party. Flu cases in southern Wisconsin quadrupled in November. UW Health says it had 422 positive flu cases last week alone, more than any other number all last flu season. People are gathering more than they have in almost 3 years. State health officials are encouraging people to get their flu shots, stay home when sick, and wash hands frequently. In sports, the Bucks are at the Knicks tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Matt Flynn Direct is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider.
Coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it being made in the last 24 hours, I'll tell you that. A jury convicted the Oath Keepers leader and one other individual of seditious conspiracy at the end of a jury trial. Seditious conspiracy, Stuart Rhodes. He's the cat with the patch on his eye. Remember him? Scary looking individual. He's the guy, violent individual, talked violently, said that he would hang. He said this on tape. He said this publicly, hang Nancy Pelosi from an effing lamppost. They had a store of guns in a Virginia hotel room. They were waiting for the signal from Trump to go in and, frankly, kill members of Congress. If you take a look at the January 6th video, go on YouTube and watch it. A number of the Oath Keepers dressed in military gear and garb were in stack formation walking through the crowd. What does a stack formation mean in military terms? So you have this crowd milling around, just all lathered up. But you saw a lot of people purposefully single file marching through the crowd in military formation. That was Stuart Rhodes leading them. The other guy who got convicted was Kelly Meigs, M-E-G-G-S. Kelly Meigs is a guy. He is the leader, the president, the head honcho of the Oath Keepers in Florida. And there were three other co-defendants who were convicted, but not of seditious conspiracy. They were convicted of other felonies. The significance of seditious conspiracy is that it carries a maximum 20-year jail sentence. 20 years. 20 years. Now, if you're a guy in his 50s, you get sentenced to 20 years, you're going to be popping out in your mid or late 70s. That's essentially your life. That's essentially a life sentence. So Stuart Rhodes and Kelly Meigs are going to be sentenced. They don't get sentenced right away. There's a thing called a pre-sentence report. Professionals in the probation and parole office will compile a report. They'll interview them. They'll give the background of them, any prior offenses they have, anything like that, and make a recommendation. Then it's up to the judge. And are they going to get 20 years? I don't know. But they could get 18 years. They could get 15, 12 years. Let me tell you something. You're in middle age and you get 12 to 20 years. That is a significant penalty. The other three were convicted of, you know, violence, trying to obstruct an official proceeding. They will get some years in prison. The significance of this conviction, the significance of this jury verdict, is that it really drives a stake in the heart of the January 6th insurrectionists and an appetite for anybody else to do this in the future. And, you know, when I look in this, I feel no pity for Stuart Rhodes, and I feel no pity for Kelly Meggs or the others, but these people were waiting for a signal from Trump. Remember, it was Trump that sent out the save the date card. There was a social media post saying, come on January 6th to the Capitol, and it'll be a very significant day. Very provocative language. And January 6th was a nothing day. Theoretically, nothing should have been going on. It was the ceremonial acceptance of the certifications by 50 secretaries of state and 50 governors of the presidential results. That's all it was. And the majority of them were Republicans, Republican secretaries of state, Republican governors. There are 50 of each, and there's slightly more Republican governors and secretaries of state than there, at least then, than there were Democratic. Now, many of them were smaller states. Larger states like New York and California are Democratic, but Texas and Florida had Republican governors. And all of these people certified Joe Biden, certified the results, I should say, of their states. And Joe Biden took about 306 electoral votes. It takes 270 to get elected president. There's no mystery to this thing. And not only that, these elections also elected senators and they elected members of the House of Representatives. This was a substantial election, and there was no dispute. All of the states certified the results. So these people go there waiting for a what? Sign from Donald Trump to what? Go to your hotel room in Michigan and get out semi-automatic weapons and just what? Shoot at Congress and shoot at cops, and you think you're going to topple the American government? Trump did get up, you recall this, in a speech urging them to go to the Capitol and saying that we're not going to keep our democracy if we don't do something. Come with me to the Capitol. Come with me to the Capitol. I'm going to lead them. And I'll tell you something. This is a defense that was used in some of the cases, largely unsuccessfully, but if I were representing one of the, say, the rank and file, I'm not talking about an oath keeper, but, you know, some Yahoo who got smoked by Trump and he shows up. If the president of the United States, and he was president of the United States on January 6th, says, come with me to the Capitol, and he's going to walk into the Capitol, I'm going to feel very comfortable if I'm just an average guy that doesn't know very much and gets swept up with this, follow the president in. He's the president of the United States. He's the president of the United States. The General Services Administration administers those buildings, but Trump is the president. You might think he controls the GSA. Yes, Congress is a separate branch of government, but the average guy doesn't know that. And he doesn't know that when the president of the United States gives his State of the Union address, what he does is he's invited by the Speaker of the House there. He's not supposed to go there if he's not invited by the Speaker of the House. So the average guy doesn't know that. And so he goes, okay, Trump is with us. And it turns out Trump did argue with his own Secret Service detail. He wanted to go up there. And when they pointed out to him that some of the followers of his had guns, he said, well, they're not out to hurt me, you know. The implication, if they want to shoot Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer, so what? I mean, this is a violent episode in American history. So these people went up there, and some of them did say at trial and at sentencing, I thought the president was going with us. I thought we were invited up there. I thought I had a right to go up there. Didn't help them, frankly, in escaping prosecution, but in my judgment, it may have helped in the sentencing because some of these people got slaps on the wrist. They get like, what, 6 months or 3 months or some of them time served? I think some of the judges looked at it and said, well, as long as you weren't one of the guys that beat up the cops, and that you didn't somehow commit violence there, and you're a follower, just and also ran, I'm going to be a little merciful to you. I'm going to be a little merciful to you. I think that's what happened. But in this case, no mercy, no mercy whatsoever. Stuart Rhodes was the instigator of this thing. And he said he wanted to hang Nancy Pelosi from an effing lamppost. And he had guns set up. And he said, again, on tape, we need civil war. Well, you know something? If Abraham Lincoln had been able to, he should have arrested Robert E. Lee right at the beginning of the Civil War. Unfortunately, they offered Robert E. Lee, believe this or not, command of the Union Army. And he had to choose between the Union Army and the Confederate, and he chose the Confederate. And that's what he did. Well, in this particular case, there's no ambiguity in what Stuart Rhodes wanted to do. No ambiguity whatsoever. And so he's going to get a substantial sentence. So is Larry or Kelly Meggs. And the three others are going to get some kind of sentence. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But this drives a stake in the heart of the whole insurrectionist MAGA movement, in my judgment. People around the country, and I'm talking about conventional Republicans, I'm talking about not just moderate good Republicans like Adam Kinzinger and somebody like Liz Cheney, but I'm talking about people who are in the suburbs here in Milwaukee, in Ozaukee County, Waukesha County. They're going to think twice about voting for Trump again. Go to the lines. Gina Beauclair, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Hi, Matt. Great show as usual. Great subjects. I was so excited when I saw, what the jury came out with. And also, in addition to the president urging this on, we also have to remember all of the people that are in power in the different states, especially in Wisconsin. Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, the Republican representatives that didn't want to vote to accept the electors, the person that let the false electors in the state of Wisconsin. This isn't just Donald Trump. And the people that followed heard all of the different legislators, Republican legislators up there, getting them all stoked up to, the Ted Cruz, all the other people that were up there stoking them up, getting them ready to go. So it wasn't just Donald Trump, because if it would have been just him and the Republicans would have said, no, this isn't true, or, you can protest if you want, or you know what I mean, but not getting them going like democracy was being stolen. There's a lot of people there that need to be held accountable. And that's my two cents worth. And thank you for the subject, Matt.
Thank you, Jeannie. And as always, you hit the nail on the head. Ron Johnson had a list of the fake electors from Michigan. Then somebody else of his running dogs and buddies had the fake electors of Wisconsin. So it didn't look like they were betraying their home states. This was a conspiracy. This was not just Donald Trump. But Donald Trump is the guy that's just announced for president. And I think this put a silver stake right through the heart of his presidential ambitions. We got to go to a break. The lines are open. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. Get back to you right after the break, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 14 tonight, under clear skies, winds out of the west, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 34. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night, lows level off around 27. Overcast skies Friday, decreasing clouds by Saturday. Upper 40s Friday, low 30s by Saturday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today? Mark from the SAC. Mark, my friend, you're on the air. Mark from the SAC, what's in your mind today?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Sure can, Mark.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, yeah, Mark. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's amazing to me, like Paul Gosar, who posted this. Didn't he post a video about murdering one of his colleagues? That and I don't think he's
right. Ocasio-Cortez, and even doing injury to Joe Biden, he didn't get indicted for it. He should have been.
That it's ridiculous to me because these guys are none of the insurrectionist politicians that are in the Congress right now should actually be there. That under the 14th Amendment, giving aid and giving comfort and aid to the insurrectionists, in my opinion, you know, giving them cover, giving them any kind of lip service at all is giving them aid and comfort. I mean, and the 14th Amendment is Section 3 is pretty clear on that issue, that aid and comfort is part of the stuff that they're not supposed to be able to serve either, be in the Congress either. And I mean, I guess it brings it, you know, that I wouldn't consider it a constitutional crisis because it's enforcement of the Constitution. It's making them live up to the document that they actually took an oath to uphold. And unless they're able to uphold that oath in the Constitution as it has been amended over the years, that they have no business being in Congress. Period. And I mean, they should be confronted with that every day. You know, when Jim Jordan speaks up, he was part of the insurrectionist caucus as well. I mean, Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald. I mean, Scott Fitzgerald, for God's sakes, arranged the room for the fake electors. I mean, he was part of the conspiracy.
Right.
I mean, and it is a conspiracy, pure and simple. And Ron Johnson's aides that participate in this, handling the documents and winking and nodding and smirking probably over their plot to do this kind of thing. Enough of this stuff. Arrest, indict them and arrest them. I don't care if they're sitting in Congress right now. You indict them. You don't have the right to commit treason against the United States,
right,
which they did. That was a betrayal of their oath, pure and simple.
Right. You made a lot of good points. I want to unpack a little bit before we go to the next caller, and that is this that you raised. There have been threats of violence. Paul Gosar, Marjorie Taylor Greene advocated the assassination of Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi. And Gosar put a video in which Ocasio-Cortez gets killed and an injury is done to Joe Biden. I do not know why both of them were not criminally charged. In my judgment, Merrick Garland, he just kick this over to a special prosecutor, this Jack Smith, there has got to be an indictment of Donald Trump. You cannot have, you know, you have people like these Oath Keepers and the rest of them, they're all taking the fall. They're the fall guys, Michael Cohen, the fall guy, his accountant, the fall guy, and everybody goes to jail, Manafort, and what? This guy walks free and runs for president? Come on. They introduced violence. If you look at the January 6th video, they're beating the hell out of those cops, beating the hell out of them, hitting them with poles, dragging them down the stairs with their heads bouncing off. They had concussions. One was almost kicked to death. Five people died. This was an insurrection. And you're right, under the 14th Amendment, that should preclude Trump, frankly, from running again, but it will probably require a criminal conviction. So, no, excellent comments. Thanks. Next, we go to Bruce of Waukesha, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bruce?
Thank you for taking my call. It was not an insurrection, and I'll tell you why. The people that were there at the Capitol while Donald Trump was talking were not mega people. There may have been a couple, but a lot of them were planted. And there is footage where you can see someone who is FBI, and they won't even answer you whether he's FBI or not. He's talking to a person that's a known troublemaker, and as soon as he talks to him, the guy starts breaking down the fence and starting trouble. These people that attacked while Trump was talking. The real Trump fans were listening to Donald Trump. He never said, we are going to storm the Capitol. He said, we will peacefully protest.
No, Bruce, I always like conservatives calling in, but we got to get our facts correct here, okay? The truth of the matter is that it was not the FBI that orchestrated this. That's a absolute fringe conspiracy theory. The FBI does not do that. These people were MAGA people. If you took a look at them, remember the cat with the war paint and the fur and the horns? I mean, what do you think? He was an FBI agent? How about the ones that said, hang Mike Pence? I mean, Bruce, you got to open your mind. You're an intelligent guy. These were people who are Trump supporters. Now, when you say Trump said we're going to peacefully protest, he didn't say that. He said, we're going to go to the Capitol because if you aren't willing to take action, you're not going to have a country anymore. And he knew the people in the crowd were armed. His own people told him that they were afraid for his safety. And he said, well, they're not here to hurt me. So here's the deal. I think that the Republican Party has to live with this following fact. There was an insurrection and it was unsuccessful. It was unsuccessful. And basically our military held, our institutions held, and that's to our credit, frankly, as a country. But there has to be a consequence. So this Stuart Rhodes, this guy that just got convicted, and Kelly Meggs, they were convicted for a reason by a jury. They'll appeal, but they don't deny that those guns in the Virginia hotel room were theirs. They don't deny the video where they're walking in stack formation through the crowd. Those were not FBI agents walking in stack formation through the crowd. And he doesn't deny, because he's on tape, saying that he's going to hang Nancy Pelosi from the effing lamppost and that we need a civil war. He said these things, and he's not in the FBI. So, Bruce, there is one thing that's weird. He is a graduate of Yale Law School. Believe it or not, I'm not kidding. Stuart Rhodes, the cat with the patch, you know, the pirate with the patch. Unbelievable. But Bruce, thanks for calling. Always call in. But look, this fringe conspiracy stuff doesn't go anywhere. Really, it doesn't. I had to go to a break. The lines are still alive. Do not hang up. I see you on the lines. Get back to you right after the break. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Sport coat and a pink carnation. I'm in the blue, blue mood.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. The Devil's Advocates.
But do you think the Biden administration's calling up Laura Ingraham and making the announcement to the world that we're invading Russia with amphibious troops? Come on, Trump. I mean, and I want to hear fine Trumpsters that want to defend that crap. You know, he's a little late for the early bird buffet. Maybe you people were just naive marks who believed he was a super genius.
Then I got some land I'd like to sell you outside of Fukushima.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Coronavirus update. I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. Stocks finished higher. The Dow up 737 points. China's ruling Communist Party says it will crack down on coronavirus restriction protesters.
The statement was released after the largest street demonstrations in decades were staged by citizens fed up with strict antivirus restrictions. While it didn't directly address the protests, the statement serves as a reminder of the party's determination to enforce its rule. There has been a massive show of force by the internal security services to deter a recurrence of protests that broke out over the weekend in Beijing and other cities. Security forces have been conducting random ID checks for evidence of participation in demonstrations. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
19 people, including 17 New York City and New York State public employees, have been charged with submitting fraudulent applications for funds to help businesses survive the pandemic. I'm Ed Donahue.
Paid for by government.com.
Have you heard? A recent stash of 1904 Morgan silver dollar coins has been found. These gorgeous 1904 silver dollar coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck. This is a key date for silver dollar collectors, and only a limited quantity are available. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone interested in silver coins. Just call government at 1-800-386-7195 and you are guaranteed a mint condition 1904 Morgan silver dollar featuring the iconic O mint mark of the New Orleans Mint, the final year of production. But with limited quantity, you must call now. These 1904 silver coins are still in uncirculated condition. That is 117 years of history you can hold in your hand. To learn more, call 1-800-386-7195. Call now and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-386-7195 now to secure your 1904 Morgan silver dollars before they sell out. That's 1-800-386-7195.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Natnair with your headlines. The Respect for Marriage Act has passed the Senate by a 61-36 vote and now moves on to the House. It is expected to pass quickly and then head to the executive desk, where President Biden has pledged to sign it into law. The measure requires all states to recognize same-sex and interracial marriages performed in any other state. It does not require states to allow these marriages to be performed or require nonprofit religious groups to perform a same-sex marriage. However, it does protect marriage equality in a way that once signed into law could not be overturned by the Supreme Court, in the same way they decided access to abortion was not a constitutional right when they overturned Roe v. Wade. Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, a lead sponsor of the legislation. Wisconsin's GOP Senator Ron Johnson voted against. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. I will get all of you. The lines are alive. Start in order. Pizza Box Mike, my friend. Thanks for calling us. And you mind me, my fellow co-host, Pizza Box Mike.
Well, you know, I've never made it a secret that I enjoy recreational marijuana. And it's well known across this great United States at the dispensaries that when I walk in the door, I'm a top shelf kind of customer, but damn, I need some of the stuff that last guy was smoking, because that has to be really good to be able to reach that alternate reality that we are all seeking to escape to, right? Peaceful? Taking it by force, he said. Okay. And yes, the rest of them went down there to take over the Capitol. Remember, he was a little bit upset that he couldn't go with, I don't know what you're smoking, dude, but it's got to be strong.
Yeah, good points. I mean, this stuff about the FBI did it, that is the lamest, weakest, craziest thing of all the conspiracy theories, of all of them, Pizza Box. And as always, thanks for calling in. Folks, you got to listen to Pizza Box Mike. He has his own show, noon on Saturdays, Thinking Outside the Pizza Box. Hard hitting, very, very good. Okay, we're going to get to everybody else. Next in line, Bill of Shorewood, my friend. Thanks for calling us, reminding Bill of Shorewood.
I have a quick question, Matt. Mark of the SAC listed a bunch of people who were live and in person on January 6th. I was wondering about the people who stayed home but wrote big checks to finance what must have been an incredibly expensive venture to send all those people down there, put them up into hotels, feed them, fly them there, or take them on bus tours and so forth. What about the people who stayed home and financed this whole thing?
You know, that's a very, very good point, because it was millions of dollars. And I'll give you one example, the Koch brother, because one of them died, so he's a singular Koch brother, was one of the people that contributed. Van Orden, the guy that just got elected to Congress, unfortunately, in Ron Kind's seat in the 3rd Congressional District in Wisconsin, went to the thing, and he used campaign funds, which I don't think is right. He shouldn't have used campaign funds. So some of them paid their way that way. But you're right. And I think that the January 6th Commission, and I'm going to talk about that very briefly right after the next caller, but the January 6th Commission is looking into all of that. And then the question is intentionality. You know, they'll all claim, oh, I was just giving the Republican Party. Well, the Republican Party, quite frankly, is an insurrectionist party now. It is a treason caucus, with the exception of Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, and a handful of other people. But that merits investigation. It's a very good point. Millions were contributed to orchestrate that, and that is under review by the January 6th Commission. Tom of McFarland, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom of McFarland?
Hello, thanks for taking my call. And you know, again, just to kind of pile on as far as the entire, it wasn't really an insurrection. You know, a lot of times when we think of insurrection, we think of how Hollywood portrays it, or how we see it happening in third world countries with, you know, armed machine guns, et cetera, et cetera. But the law simply states if anybody obstructs the business of Congress so that they can't do their business, that's a felony. And, you know, why those people were there, they weren't there for a tour, like Ron Johnson might say. They were there for one specific reason: stop the steal, i.e. obstruct Congress from doing its business. That's a felony. It doesn't matter if you didn't have the intent. It doesn't matter if, we just accidentally stormed the Capitol, our bad. No, the law's pretty clear. If you intentionally obstruct the business of Congress, you are guilty of a crime. These individuals, that's exactly what they did, and they orchestrated that obstruction, which makes it a seditious conspiracy.
That is an excellent point, and you just highlighted one of the convictions in the case that I just described. Stuart Rhodes and Kelly Meggs were convicted of seditious conspiracy, which is a 20-year felony. The other three were also convicted of felonies, obstruction of Congress, and interfering with congressional action. And that is also a felony. It's not quite 20 years, but any prison time is going to be a severe sanction. And I will repeat again, I think that this conviction, these five convictions, were a silver stake in the heart of Trump's presidential candidacy this time around. He's the guy that led them. He's the guy that instigated them to go up there. And then he's the guy that essentially abandoned them. He did try to go up there. The Secret Service wouldn't let him, and they drove him back to the White House. And these stooges go up there. I'm talking most of them stooges. But Stuart Rhodes was not a stooge. Neither was Kelly Meggs. They knew exactly what they were doing. So did the other three. They had guns in a hotel room in Virginia. They said they wanted civil war on tape. They said one of them said they wanted to hang Nancy Pelosi from an effing lamppost on tape. That is an insurrection. That deserves prison time. And the man that ginned it up, which is Donald Trump, should be prosecuted by the special prosecutor, Jack Smith. And he should not be permitted to run for presidency. But if for any reason he does run for the presidency and somehow gets the Republican nomination, he further drags that party into the swamp, and Joe Biden will kill him, figuratively speaking, in the election. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for watching my day. Wisco Paul.
Good afternoon, Matt. You haven't even got to the classified documents he stole. I repeat, stole out of the White House. It took the Mar-a-Lago. Who knows what was in there? Maybe he got some people killed. But he was into it. he was behind the scenes, and it was, he's the one that did it. Hey, and I want to bring one thing up, because we're not that far away from a Supreme Court justice election in the state of Wisconsin. Three of them sitting justices on there. One's retiring, the other two are not. They also voted to overturn the election. So let's not forget about that also. Trump is guilty, and I hope he gets prosecuted to the full extent.
Yeah, excellent, excellent, excellent points. And let me segue to the Supreme Court election in the context of what you just described. Today, this Judge Jennifer Doro of Waukesha, an arch conservative, announced her candidacy because she got some publicity, free publicity, out of one of the criminal cases that she just presided over. And it was a guy who was defending himself and who just would babble on and cause a lot of trouble. So she got a lot of free TV time, and there was never in doubt what was going to happen with the guy. And she's required to give him life sentence, and she did. And there's nothing out of the ordinary about that. However, please pay attention to this, folks, because this is the most important election. Wisco Paul just identified it, of the next 2 years. Except for the presidential election in 2024, this is the most important election in Wisconsin. And in it, there are now two arch conservatives who would mirror what the three Republican justices did, which was to vote against certifying Joe Biden. And not just against certifying Joe Biden, but they did it because they questioned the vote in Dane and Milwaukee County, the two largest Democratic vote totals, without any basis at all. There was no good faith basis for what they did. One of them is not running for re-election, and that is the seat that's now open this spring. Primary in February, general election in April. Very quick turnaround. Nomination papers will be circulated starting tomorrow. Tomorrow. They've got to be turned in at the beginning of January. And then it's the end of February, third week in February, that they are going to have the primary. So it's going to be an unbelievable sprint. It's starting right now, but once they file beginning of January, it's about 7 weeks. That's it. And four candidates are going to be reduced to two. It's not partisan, even though it is, but they are not running as Democrat or Republican. They're running under their own names. The candidate that I'm supporting, that a lot of people are supporting, is Judge Janet Protasiewicz. Protasiewicz. She's terrific. Janet Protasiewicz. She is the most experienced prosecutor of any of the four running. She was a prosecutor in the Milwaukee County DA's office for more than 20 years, doing homicides, sexual assaults, some of the worst crimes. She's very tough, but very fair and very firm as a prosecutor. But she gets the Constitution, she's read the Constitution, and she is the most zealous defender of our democracy of any judge that's run, certainly in my memory, in the last 10 years. She has said that Dropbox decision by the partisan Republicans to eliminate drop boxes was wrong, wrongly decided. She decided a different way. She will put an end to gerrymandering. Now, I want to hit that issue right now. I got a call from a very, very prominent Democrat in the Eau Claire area, Bobby Green, who said that some Democratic legislators went up there and just said that she can do it right away, and that's the reason to vote for her. That is the reason to vote for her, but I want to tell you, not as a legislator, but as a lawyer who practiced law for 41 years. This is my opinion. If Janet Protasiewicz is elected, she and the other three Democratic leading, they're really quite independent justices, will have the majority. If somebody brings an action, and I'm thinking it could be the ACLU, but it could be the UAW. It could be the AFL-CIO. It could be the League of Women Voters. And they just say the present configuration of this state is nothing more than packing and cracking, legislators picking their voters, and it is not democracy. And we want you to declare declaratory judgment to, that they have to go back and they have to redistrict in the middle of this 10-year cycle. She can do that. They can do that. That is my opinion. And then some people say, well, can't that be appealed? It can be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court only. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court has interfered in the redistricting here in the past based on racial grounds, but they have never interfered with it based on just the fairness grounds grounded in the Wisconsin Constitution, not the U.S. Constitution, although it is in the U.S. Constitution. They're just ignoring it. But there would be a very good chance that with Janet Protasiewicz on there, that 4-3 majority would redistrict in the middle of the 10-year cycle. And it would be a certainty that if someone filed another case on drop boxes, that it would have a different result. They'd restore them. Now, you may say, how's that possible? The court just went the other way. I tried several cases, and I'm going to give you one example, a prominent environmental case where I was successful in getting the Wisconsin Supreme Court to overrule a case they had decided 10 years earlier. The U.S. Supreme Court has done this in several cases. They did it in Roe v. Wade, in the Dobbs case, overruled Roe v. Wade. They did it in the case involving corporate contributions, Citizens United. They can do that. They are the 800-pound gorilla. So you must keep in mind that this is the most important election in the next 2 years. The two Republicans you cannot possibly consider voting for if you believe in our democracy, Daniel Kelly and this Janet Doro. Both of them have said, we are conservatives. Kelly even attacked Brian Hagedorn, another conservative who happened to vote to certify Biden. He was the only Republican who did. They will stand by gerrymandering. They will stand by outlawing drop boxes. They will attack our democracy. The other two, they're Democrats. One of them is much less experienced than Janet Protasiewicz, the Honorable Reverend Mitchell from Madison. Has a number of the Madison, you know, kind of usual suspects with him, but he does not have them all. There's not Lester Pines, an eminent lawyer over there, and a law school classmate of mine, Kelda Roy, is a state senator. They are for Janet Protasiewicz. Keep that in mind. You want experience and a judge who knows what she's doing. And of the four, that's Janet Protasiewicz. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The mood of the crowd was positive and festive.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it!
We did. Well, we're almost
it.
We almost did it.
We're still going to get through today, but we did it. We lived to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 14 tonight, under clear skies, westerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 34. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night. Lows around 26. Highs level off around 48 Friday, with a chance for scattered rain showers. 32, a blend of clouds and sun Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
We're back to Matt Finn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We've talked a lot about the insurrection today. We talked a lot about the convictions of Stuart Rhodes and Kelly Meigs and the other three defendants. Rhodes and Meigs for seditious conspiracy, 20-year felony. The other three for obstructing Congress and other felonies, less than 20 years, but still substantial. But there is a Wisconsin impact to all this. Guess what? It was announced that Robin Voss, yes, our Robin Voss, the illegitimate speaker who's been gerrymandered, couldn't get elected in any 50-50 district, being interviewed by the January 6th committee. He's being interviewed now, apparently, he said Wednesday, by the January 6th committee. He did not try to avoid the subpoena. It would have been unsuccessful. I think he thinks he can slide in, you know, lay some word and slip out. Let me tell you something. The questioning about Robin Voss, and somebody brought this up among the callers, which I thought was very good, and that is that it isn't just Donald Trump. It isn't just Donald Trump. It's a whole bunch of people, not just people who funded it, but people with the fake electors and all that. Robin Voss was part of it. Do you remember that when Tony Evers lawfully and appropriately called the meeting of the real electors, because Biden nominated his electors, Trump nominated his electors, Biden won, so his electors met in the Capitol in a conference room arranged by the governor to do symbolically cast their votes for Joe Biden. At the same time, somebody reserved a conference room in the Capitol for the fake electors to give them legitimacy. That was part of this insurrection. And guess who it was? Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald had been state senator, was still a state senator. And he's the one that facilitated it. And Robin Voss reserved the conference room. So a very obvious question to Robin Voss is, why did you reserve the conference room? Now, I assume that is such an elemental question that it's being asked. I assume it's being asked. Robin Voss has to be very careful in answering that. If he says something that's not true, like, I didn't even know it was happening. I had a rogue staff member, which is what Ron Johnson said when his staff member, at his behest, contacted Pence's, I guess, chief of staff, or one of his staffers, and offered to give him the porn, the Michigan state electors. It's like, psst, you want to see some dirty pictures? Well, that's what it was. Johnson said, I didn't know anything about that. It was false, but he was smart. He didn't say it under oath. Robin Voss is going to be under oath, I think. They say it's an interview. But let me tell you something else. If you say something false and it's not under oath to Congress, that's still obstruction. So Robin Voss has got to say, in my judgment, that what, Fitzgerald asked him to do it and he said fine? He can't say he didn't know why. The question is, why did you give at taxpayer expense, because taxpayers pay for the conference rooms, a conference rooms for state electors, for presidential electors, for a guy who lost the election? I assume he's been carefully prepared, and he'll say, well, I don't know what he'll say. We'll see what he says. But he reserved the room. And then if he says, well, I didn't believe it myself, the next question is, but you hired Gableman, paid him over $1 million. $1 million to go around the state and find no fraud. You knew there was no fraud. There's no reasonable expectation of fraud. $1 million came out of taxpayer money. Why did you do that? So he's being roasted today. And I'll tell you what. That comment that this is not just Trump is very true. Millions of dollars were spent to organize it. The Koch brothers or the brother contributed some of it and may claim, well, I don't know what it was for. It's just a Republican thing. You know, well, who, me? I don't know. Who, me? I don't know. But it was the fake electors. And the January 6th Commission is investigating that. And Robin Voss was in on that. He provided the hotel, the conference room for the fake electors. Ron Johnson was in on it. He's the one with the Michigan state electors. Ron Johnson doesn't represent Michigan. Why does Ron Johnson have Michigan electors if they were legitimate? If they were legitimate, the governor in Michigan would have it, not a senator from Wisconsin. And Wisconsin really sullied itself, ourselves, not you and me, not the real Wisconsin. But remember when they were going to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer and take her to a cabin and interrogate her or do something to her? It was going to be in Wisconsin. And I think it was in Columbus, just north of Madison, that they hatched the plot. Why is Wisconsin so concerned about Michigan's fake electors? So that their senator was part of it, the speaker was part of it, and a bunch of thugs operating independent of anybody on their own are talking about kidnapping the governor of Michigan. What's this all about? What's this all about? Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Pennsylvania. This is the Western Pennsylvania, the heartland of the Midwest. Why is this occurring? But it is occurring, and that interrogation is going on right now. That interrogation is going on right now. This has been a great show. A lot of great callers. We had a great call-ins. Matt Flynn directed me back same time, same place tomorrow. I'll tell you what, there are so many things to discuss, and we have so many absolutely good callers that frequently we're going to pay a lot of attention to one theme in particular. But there are a couple of things I'll tease you with about tomorrow. For instance, Donald Trump having dinner in Mar-a-Lago, this guy Nick Fuentes and Kanye West, who calls himself Yee. Mitch McConnell denounced him, said, quote, "There's no room in the Republican Party for anti-Semitism, white supremacy, and anyone meeting with people advocating those points of view are highly unlikely to ever be elected president of the United States." He blasted Trump. Pence blasted Trump. Pence said that was wrong of him to do it. Liz Cheney not only blasted Trump, she blasted Kevin McCarthy, saying, "I know you want to be speaker, but are you willing to be amoral?" This is very strong stuff from these people. I wish that the whole Republican Party felt the same way. Coming into the show, great show. Matt Flynn direct back, same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson.